Welcome back at WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. It is positively an NFL draft weekend. We are off to a hell of a start. I mean, the biggest news of the draft didn't even happen during the draft. It happened before the draft. All of our Maryland Crab Cake Tours presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I've got these instant scratch-offs. We had some winners at Captain Larry's on Thursday. The big winners will be everyone who hears the conversation. We had great, great conversation. Shannon Toback joined me. My pal Chris Reel, who loves Baltimore as much as anybody, loves the Orioles. And Todd Schuler came by. And we also had Mara from Captain Larry's on talking about crab cakes in South Baltimore and all that good stuff. All of it brought to you by our friends at Window Nation and the Maryland Lottery back at Fadley's on Friday. Next Thursday, we're at McFall's Oyster and Reel, not the Iron Horse Tavern, but the one over in Middle River, the old Sioux Island. We'll be doing the crab cake over there with my buddy Terry Cook. We'll be talking a little Vegas, a little football, and I'm sure we will be talking about Zay Flowers, the newest Raven, as well as Lamar Jackson and a whole host of other Raven players and news this weekend. Luke Jones joins us now from Owings Mills, where it was a late evening. And if you want to hear all the words of Eric DaCosta and Joe Ortiz and all that available at Baltimore Positive as well. Luke, how are the toothpicks holding up with the eyeballs here this weekend? I thought flying back from Hawaii and almost being stuck in Las Vegas and almost having to pay $19 for a two-piece chicken box at the airport, I thought all of that was bad, but boy, since I've gotten back, the Ravens have improved, huh? They have a quarterback now. They've drafted a wide receiver. They signed this hot shot. I mean, we've come a long way in a couple of weeks here from what's going to happen to the Ravens. Well, we know what they're going to be now. They're going to go out and they're going to compete as they've done for 27 years. It was a big, big day, a historic day, as you would call it, or maybe historical if you didn't know any better.
It was definitely a historic day. I mean, you certainly – and I saw some – younger fans on Twitter kind of put this in a light of one of the, you know, absolute great days in franchise history. Let's be careful. They've won two Super Bowls, right? So I would say, however,
I'll hand them books if they want to know about the history. I've written books on that.
In terms of business days, though, this is right up there. I mean, you go back to 96 when you draft Jonathan Ogden and Ray Lewis, even though at the time no one knows if it's going to be what it ultimately was.
By the way, I saw that picture of Sapp and Brooks rolling around in the creamsicle, too. And draft day's great because, you know, you get Bill Polian and you get Mel Kiper's hair. You get it all. You really do.
You get it all. And everyone's happy, right? I mean, every single camera shot on Thursday night is of draft war rooms that everyone is excited about their guy. Little do we know that a year or two or 3 years from then, all those individuals will either not be happy or they might be out of a job because the guy they just picked did not work out for them. So that's part of the beauty of the draft. But yeah, I mean, the Ravens, you look going back to Easter Sunday where you make the deal for Odell Beckham, Lamar Jackson posts on Instagram their FaceTime call, kind of the first sign of, okay, maybe Lamar doesn't want out entirely. And then Lamar gets signed hours before the draft. He's extended. He's signed up for the next 5 years. You've got your franchise quarterback. And then you go out for the third time in the last five drafts, which, by the way, they had only done three times in their first 23 drafts in franchise history. They take a wide receiver in the first round in Zay Flowers. Really productive player at Boston College. Slot man. Easy comparisons made to Hollywood Brown because you look at the size, but more solid. He Hollywood Brown was maybe 160 pounds soaking wet coming out of Oklahoma. You know, Zay Flowers is 185, a little more solid, a little more yak ability, but you know, profiles just in terms of a slot receiver, a guy that's going to move around a lot, a guy that I think will do some gadget type stuff for them as well. And just a really productive player at, let's face it, Boston College, with apologies to Doug Flutie, not exactly a college football powerhouse, especially in recent years. And to see what Zay Flowers was able to do with hardly elite quarterback play. It's not as though he had Matt Ryan throwing him the ball up at BC. Really productive and really, really good. And I know he struck up a relationship with T. Martin, Ravens' assistant, during the Shrine Bowl. They hit it off really well. And hearing Eric DaCosta, hearing John Harbaugh, hearing Joe Ortiz talk about this individual. First of all, he has 13 siblings, Nestor. He went back to college his senior year, wanted to get his degree. You hear so many things about him beyond the football player. And look, him being a great football player is paramount when you're taking someone in the first round. So let's be clear about that. But in terms of the character, in terms of, he's got some swagger. Don't get me wrong. He's a wide receiver after all. Let's be clear about that. But he said all the right things through the pre-draft interview process. And Eric flat out said, you know what? I'm not going to lie. This is one of the more impressive kids we've come across in terms of talking to him and us really hitting it off with him on a personal level. Steve Smith has spoken glowingly about him. Steve Smith, someone clearly that the Ravens still have an affinity for, but just someone that I think is just going to add another dimension to their revamped new offense under Todd Monken. I still don't think they're going from run heavy to pass heavy, but I think you're certainly going to see way more balance and certainly a greater commitment to being more productive, more explosive, more efficient via the air. And certainly, even though you and I already debated this and fought over this, yeah, there is a higher level of pressure for Lamar Jackson and all these guys now, but especially Lamar getting paid, but they add another wide receiver to the room. And to me, with Beckham, and look, I've already said it, they overpaid for Odell Beckham. There's no question about that. But the combination of him and now drafting Zay Flowers, I think it's Eric DaCosta's attempt to right a wrong from a year ago. Not that trading Marquise Brown was a bad decision in isolation. It was not doing enough to replace Marquise Brown.
Well, the Prochet and the Duvernay and the guys they did believe in, right? And they talked about believing in, all that's gone. And those guys were all pissed. And Eric said, we need better wide receiver. Ah, you know, boy, they filled that room. I mean, the Nelson Aguilar signing is so last month ago, right?
Oh, totally. I mean, that's an afterthought. And by the way, I'm fine with Nelson Aguilar if he's my number four wide receiver. I just didn't want it to be, hey, that's our veteran guy we're bringing in here. So, but you look at this on paper now, you have Beckham. We get it. There are questions there. There's absolutely questions there, but clearly they felt very highly about where he is physically compared to where he's been the last couple of years. Time will tell. Rashad Bateman, when he's been on the field, he's looked the part. Look at what the Ravens passing game did. As much as we talked about the failures and Greg Roman being dismissed and all that, go back and look at what they did the first three, four games before Bateman got hurt. That passing game was humming. Lamar was off to a great start throwing the football. So you have those two, hoping they're going to stay healthy, but now you add Zay Flowers to the mix, who played 12 games last year, played 12 games the year before that, played 11, played 13. You know, this is a guy who stayed on the field, played in the ACC. Again, Boston College is not a powerhouse. We get that. But still managed to be very productive, even without having a top-tier quarterback throwing him the football. So I think, you know, this just gives them another dynamic to their passing game. Would not be surprised to see some gadget plays and some screens and different things like that for him as well. But it just gives them another piece, and it's another long-term piece. Going back to what you mentioned, when you do have a $52 million quarterback, you better hit. So this is the first of, moving forward, however many first-round picks and early-round picks they're going to have over the next 3, 4, 5 years with a high-priced quarterback, you better nail those picks. And we saw what happened when
Rashad Perryman's not the guy, right? Literally.
Yeah, right. Or you know, even if it's other positions, a Matt Elam is a whiff. Those types of things, that adds up. So,
but if Rashad Perryman turned into Antonio Brown, Joe Flacco would have still been here and they would have won more.
I mean, I don't know if he still would have been here today, but certainly 2015, 16, 17 would have been more fruitful. There's no question about that. So, yeah, I mean, it's all related. It all matters, right? Especially when you're talking about these early picks. Sixth, seventh round picks, fine. You know, that was one issue that I took with their previous philosophy on wide receivers. You know, going back to most of Ozzie Newsome's tenure, as much as Ozzie's a Hall of Fame executive, how they handled the wide receiver position for the most part left something to be desired, especially as it became more important as time was going on. And we saw that. And I think you've seen the Ravens adjust in that way. And that's where Eric DaCosta, in 5 years, five drafts now as general manager, we've seen him draft three wide receivers in the first round. Now, keep in mind, he traded Marquise Brown. So, you know, you kind of almost look at it as like 2.5, right? Because, you know, they traded him when he still had, you know, counting his fifth year option, 2 years of control left. But I think in the case of Zay Flowers, I think it's just another piece. He doesn't have to come in, unlike some of those receivers of the past that they drafted, he does not have to come in and be, quote, the man. Really, you look at him on the depth chart, he's the number three wide receiver right now. So clearly you want him to show signs that he can be even better than that. But this is what you do to try to fix a position whether it's wide receiver or any position that you're trying to attack in the offseason, something that's been an Achilles heel for you, you go and you spend assets on it. And it's not a guarantee that it's going to work, but it shows a recognition of what we were saying and what became painfully obvious, especially when Bateman went down last October. It's, we need to get better at the wide receiver position. And we can, you know, we can debate what that means in terms of what it's going to look like with Todd Monken and all of that. But they clearly, whether it's going to be Monken or whether it's Greg Roman coming back for another year, they had to be better throwing the football through the air. And yeah, a big part of that is Lamar Jackson. I'll agree with you on that point. But you can't say that you need to be better and then continue to neglect what is a very valuable, important position on the football field. And that's, we're seeing that across the league now. Doesn't mean you have to have the best group out there, but you can't have the worst. You can't have the second worst. You can't have the third worst in the NFL. And that's the territory the Ravens have kind of found themselves in, and frankly, for a long time at the wide receiver position. So you hope, you know, with Beckham, and again, it's a gamble. That's a big $15 million one-year gamble, but you're hoping that that he does, you know, that he's productive and gives, you know, has some good influence on some of these other guys. The one thing about Odell Beckham that Todd Monken even talked about, he works hard in practice. You know, you can talk about the antics and some of the other stuff that comes with being a high profile wide receiver, but you're hoping that the work ethic and some of the intricacies of playing the position at a high level will wear off on some of these younger guys. And Zay Flowers is going to be a big part of that now.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. He'll be monitoring all things all weekend with the NFL draft. You can follow him out on social media everywhere we go. And obviously the WNST tech service was first with the Lamar Jackson news. If there's anything else that's happening over the weekend, we'll also be watching some Orioles baseball around here. The wide receiver position, and as much as we've talked about it from back with Travis Taylor and Mark Clayton and the other names, Breshad Perryman, that they have failed on, and for every Anquan Boldin and Derek Mason and the Steve Smith, which we've already mentioned, signing these veteran guys and the long lost Mike Wallace's and Jeremy Macklin's and Lee Evans. And we can just Nelson Aguilar, throw him in there. These guys that were top 60 picks at some point, you bring them in and they're 30. The room's crowded. They got a lot of wide receivers. We haven't mentioned the running back from Ohio State in a little while, right? Like, we haven't mentioned Mark Andrews in a little while. But you did mention Marquise Brown and the deal now a year and a day old with him. That netted what they believe is going to be a Pro Bowl center, right? That has netted their Matt Burke, their solution at that position that they never, you know, they haven't had since Burke, really, like a real solution at that position where they have a young guy under contract that they believe they're going to grow into. They sacrificed the 5'9" wide receiver last year to get that. Now they've replaced it. To your point, you think Flowers has a bigger upside than Hollywood Brown in this offense, especially given the other weapons. Hollywood Brown would have been unbelievable across from Odell Beckham, right? Like, that didn't happen. And we forgot about Bateman. Bateman's been okay when he's played, right? Like, Bateman still has promise. He's not where Perryman was or, you know, in year four of Mark Clayton or finding out where you are. Bateman is still not even a might be. He's got to be an is. He's your number one draft pick last year. I mean, so all that being said, they have a stacked room. Now they must throw the ball more and they must throw the ball better because they're, like I said, when we talked about Lamar's contract, there are no more excuses, but they have too many bodies now, and they got guys that are going to want the football. They're going to have mouthy guys, starting with Beckham. They're going to have guys who expect to get the football. I don't know how much football distribution there can be to keep these guys happy, but that's an interesting storyline over the next 5 months, is that we have too many wide receivers to get the football as opposed to where we were in December watching Tyler Huntley run around, throw the ball to James Prochet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's, quote, too many. It's just that they've been so accustomed to being in this position where they don't have enough. And look, of course you had bodies. Of course you had inventory. But how much quality depth did you have at wide receiver? And that's where I look at it and say, okay, when Nelson Aguilar is your number four, when, you know, we'll see what happens with Devin Duvernay and you know, how that plays out. But just looking at the top three, you have three guys now that, okay, there are some questions about some legitimate questions about Odell Beckham, probably too many for $15 million. But again, we've been over that. And,
well, 31 other teams thought that.
Well, and the Ravens, maybe they had to, maybe this is some lingering Greg Roman tax, right? Because we know that wide receivers did not like playing in Greg Roman's offense. I mean, that is painfully evident at this point in time. So was there some tax there? Of course, Beckham came in with no guarantee that Lamar was absolutely 100% going to be his quarterback. That was part of it. But the point is with Beckham, and as you mentioned with Bateman, and look, I like Rashad Bateman, but yeah, the health, he's got to stay on the field. There's no question about that. So you have those top two going into draft night one of the draft, and you say, all right, on paper, that looks a lot better than where we were a year ago, or you know, you can debate 2 years ago with Bateman and Marquise Brown, but they both have some question. So we can't just have two guys that have some question marks. And then after that, we're looking at the same old story with, later round picks who, for the most part, haven't really panned out. You know, Duvernay's had his moments, certainly, but it's not a guy that you're looking at as a starting wide receiver. So you add Zay Flowers to the mix now. He brings a little bit of a different skill set for them. You know, Beckham still going to play on the outside, although I think you could see Beckham play in the slot a little bit more, depending on formations. And look, you move these guys around. You know, the days of just having, you know, your wide receivers and your tight ends.
You're an X, you're a Y, go.
Yeah, I mean, you want it to be much more, you want to mix it up, right? You want to stress the defense. You know, whatever sub package they're in, that's why Mark Andrews has been so successful, because, you know, whether it's him lining up in a three-point stance in line or more primarily playing in the slot, he's a matchup problem. So you add Zay Flowers, who is smaller, but again, like I said, he's got more physicality than Marquise Brown ever had, even for his slighter stature.
Well, you're comparing a guy to Steve Smith. That's how, and Steve Smith's comparing him to Steve Smith, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not comparing him to Steve Smith yet, because, you know, Steve Smith, you know, is at least a borderline Hall of Famer. But certainly he has a little more physicality to him for his size. I think a little more of a willingness to be more of a yak guy. And we saw Marquise Brown. Look, when you threw a bomb to him, great, but you threw the ball underneath, you know, for the most part, he wasn't going to break a tackle, right? We didn't see a whole lot of that from him. And how much of that was his foot his first couple years, and how much of it is just not a big guy, and that's just part of, you know, part of his limitations. I think you'll see a little more yak. I think, you know, John Harbaugh talked about Flowers being someone that could, you know, kind of win at every level, you know, do something underneath with him and gain some yards after the catch, you know, some intermediate stuff, RPO type action, or send him on a deep ball, which is certainly something that they're going to want to be able to do. So we know, and we watched it the last couple of years, that this passing game needs to be better. And that doesn't mean you suddenly throw 50 times a game either, but needs to be better. And when you do it, it's going to be more efficient, needs to be more explosive. So how do you do that? You bring in a new offensive coordinator. You re-sign your franchise quarterback, who has certainly, even if he's not Patrick Mahomes, not even going to debate that. He's nowhere close to that, but he still has had success throwing the football with the right elements in place. And now you add another wide receiver there, and you hope to have that much more diversity in your passing game. And now there is an expectation for Lamar to say, hey, you can't say anymore that the wide receiver position is sorely lacking. Look at what we've done. Now it's time for you and the entire offense to go out there and be more explosive through the air and be able to win football games that way. This is still a John Harbaugh-led team. They're not going to abandon the run entirely or anything like that. Still think the run's going to be a big part of what they do. And Lamar's still going to run, even if maybe he doesn't run quite as much as he's getting older, which has always been my thought. You know, I kind of viewed it as a dial. You would want to dial back some of his runs as he gets older. And what replaces that? More passing. So I think this is another important step in doing that. And we'll see how it all comes together. Certainly good health is going to be paramount for Beckham, for Bateman, for Lamar Jackson. But again, even with Zay Flowers looking at him and saying, yeah, 5'9", 185, he's not a big wide receiver. But at the same time, you know, he's filled out a little more than Marquise Brown was. And I think that should help him as he adjusts. And I think the biggest thing, unlike some of the names that we mentioned, some of the unsuccessful stories, you know, Travis Taylor and Mark Clayton, you know, although Clayton certainly had Derek Mason opposite him, but Perriman, you look at those guys, even Marquise Brown, they all came in and the expectation was what? They had to be the number one wide receiver because, well, who else did they have?
Well, they were first round draft
at
pick.
Those different points. But the point is, you bring in Zay Flowers. He's not coming in and being the number one day one. He doesn't have to be. So I think that's going to help him. That's going to make them better. And you hope from a long-term standpoint, because I'm guessing Odell Beckham, unless he really has an unbelievable kind of renaissance, I'm guessing it is going to be a one-year deal for him. And then you'll see him move on. And then the Ravens will hopefully see a healthy Rashad Bateman and a Zay Flowers, who won't be the number three anymore. He'd step in to be in the number two, or it's one and one A, however you want to slice it. But clearly the Ravens recognized a need that they have to be better throwing the football. You know, again, it started with Greg Roman, moving on from him because that's been his MO everywhere. It's a great, fantastic coordinator of a running game. And we saw historic success in 2019 and 2020 in what they did running the football. But you've got to be able to do more than that if you want to play deep into January. So Todd Monken clearly has designs of being more of a passing team than they've been the last couple of years. And they've now added weapons to hopefully facilitate that. And to your point, as you mentioned it in passing with Tyler Linderbaum, by the way, they still have an offensive line that finished 2022 on a very high note with Ronnie Stanley finally healthy and playing at a high level again. And that offensive line minus Ben Powers. So yeah, they got to figure out left guard, but that is an offensive line that is also intact and looking much better on paper at this time of year than it has the last couple of years.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. We are fully engaged in NFL draft conversation, as well as out online at Baltimore Positive, out on our Twitter as well. And any breaking news you'll get first in WNST Tech Service, brought to you by Coons, Baltimore Ford over at Security Boulevard. And Dennis will be here opining as well before it's all over with. In the passing game, and all of this is new. I mean, the Todd Monken thing and what he did at Georgia, even before that in the league, and how all this is going to work. But Mark Andrews. He's been their whole offense, dude. Let's not kid ourselves. They had no running game 2 years ago. They had no running backs 2 years ago. He was the only guy. Last year, they don't have Bateman. They didn't even have a quarterback at the end. And Andrews was hurt at the beginning of both seasons, quite frankly. And we don't talk about him much, or his money, or his position. But once the game starts and it's third and seven, we start looking for him. Right? Yeah. When they're inside the 15-yard line and looking to score a touchdown, we start thinking, well, he's the guy who'll catch it if you throw it to him. He'll get open. He'll figure it out. What this can do for him, and what it did for him to get him paid the first time, right? Got him paid the first time. We're running right. We're running left. Lamar's a running back. Lamar can do this. Lamar was like Snoopy back then, right? And he got paid off of that and then became a wide receiver overnight, became the only option down the field in the passing game. He's really talented. He's going to be healthier. Unlike quarterbacks who lose their speed or wide receivers, I think he's in the prime of his prime. That I don't know what this does to him or how Todd Monken will choose to utilize him when they're not running the football. But boy, oh boy, Beckham. I don't know anything about Flowers other than if Steve Smith likes him and they drafted him, I'll just assume that he's going to get on the field, right? And then Bateman back healthy, and we have a running back. And Dobbins. I'm like, all of this, as they take the field, what does this mean for Mark Andrews? Because we'll talk so much about the wide receivers and Lamar, but if they're going to throw the ball 40 to 50 times, and I'm going to say that, and you're going to say, well, 36, 38 – not when they're losing. They're going to throw the ball, not after the pick, you know, not after things go wrong. They're going to be losing in games, and they're going to need to throw the football late in games, which is the reason they put all this together. I think in the end, there'll be more plus 40 pass games than there'll be less than 40, by a lot, probably. I think it'll be, if they play 17 games, I expect them to play 12 or 13, where they're going to throw the ball more than 40 times a game. I just believe they're going to have to play that way. They have wide receivers. They paid to play that way. Now they have to have success that way. Boy, Mark Andrews, we never talked at all about him, but what does this do for him? I mean, he's still only going to be targeted 8-10 times a game. I don't think they're targeting him more or less, quite frankly, but I think this really helps him.
Yeah, well, and he's going to help all of them, right? I mean, it's a give take, right? It's a matter of, you're not in a position where you have one bona fide, legitimate, high end pass catching target, right? You're hoping. And look, I still think Mark Andrews is their number one receiver at the end of the day, if we're going to lump in wide receivers and tight ends together, because he's been that good. That said, is he going to get 153 targets like he got 2 years ago? Probably not. So I think you're going to be looking at him more in the territory of, you know, 110, let's say. He had 113 last year, but that was with a couple games missed. So you certainly don't have to put as much pressure on him in terms of to be the guy, and defenses are not going to be able to devote quite as many coverage resources to him, because now you have guys that theoretically you feel good about winning on the outside. You have even another slot option now in Zay Flowers, where, you know, even though Andrews is lined up in the slot a ton and is really a slot receiver as far as how you best profile him, you're still going to be able to do different things with him. So I think doesn't mean he's going to have 1300 plus receiving yards like he did 2 years ago, but I think you're going to see him continue to be the guy, you know, to continue to be one of the top three or four tight ends in the NFL, which is what he's been for the last 4 years. So I don't expect that to change. Again, is he going to see quite as much? Is Lamar going to feel as compelled to lock in on him, which we've seen at times even being a little detrimental, because I don't think Lamar trusted other guys that were out on the field. And I think that was part of the issue. And yeah, part of that's Lamar and part of his ongoing development and getting better as a quarterback. But I still think, you know, with Mark Andrews, he's still going to be, at the top of the, you know, the top of the food chain in terms of, guys that they're going to, especially on third down, especially inside the red zone. So, yeah, I don't expect it. This means he's going to have another 100 catch season like he did 2 years ago, but still talking about him 8, 9, 10, 11 touchdowns somewhere in that neighborhood. There's no reason to think that he still won't be that. It's just now there's not quite as much pressure on him, quite as much focus being devoted to him from the defense, because they've got to account for better wide receivers. And in turn, because he is so good, that makes things that much easier for wide receivers to get open. It's all related. You know, we try to make this out to be more complicated than it is. It comes down to, and Greg Roman talked about this a lot, but 2019 is probably the only time they really did it. And even then you could still debate how true it was, but talked about the idea of forcing a defense to defend every blade of grass on the football field. You know, you need guys who can win on the outside. You need guys who can win inside. You need to be able to throw the football. You need to be able to produce from heavy formations. You need to be able to run the ball from light formations. I mean, it's all of those different things at work. So now it feels like they do have the personnel, and you're hoping you're going to mesh that with a new offensive coordinator, new eyeballs, new ideas that they're going to incorporate. And you're going to see what you hope. The goal is to have a more complete, more explosive, more efficient offense. And, you know, time will tell how that's all going to play out. But to answer your point again, you know, I don't think any of this means that Mark Andrews isn't going to continue to be one of the very best tight ends in the NFL. And I still think when it really matters, you're going to see Lamar Jackson going to him and looking to him first. But the difference is now that you have those other weapons, defenses aren't going to be able to devote quite as much to trying to stop Mark Andrews, because if they do, then the idea is, Beckham will make you pay. Rashad Bateman will make you pay. Zay Flowers will make you pay. So, you know, I think this is maybe not the best for Andrews from a fantasy football standpoint, but that doesn't at all mean that I think that he's not going to continue to be their true number one receiver if we're going to lump wide receivers and tight ends together, because he's just that special of a talent.
Luke Jones is here. He'll be monitoring all things Orioles and Rodriguez and Tigers, Tigers and Orioles and Ravens. Oh, my. All weekend long, the NFL draft. You can find him at Baltimore, Luke. You can find me at Nasty at WNST.net or NestBaltimorePositive.com. We're very available individuals here this weekend as we get back to work at Baltimore Positive and talking football, Lamar contract, and Zay Flowers, and day two and day three of the draft. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive.